Amen. Our Redeemer has already paid for it. This is, you know, it says it's these times when you need to have blindfolds, you know, just literally blinkers, so you just look straight ahead, and you win. That's odd, because what we're going to study today is fighting the good fight of faith. You know, sometimes you got to get mean sometimes, you know. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us and guide us, and show us how to divide your word of truth and get it right, get it in context. You've given us the spirit of wisdom. You've given us the spirit of revelation so that we can open up your word and we can learn of Jesus. And we can learn how to operate in your kingdom the way you designed us to. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, he's telling us that sometimes, in order to be in faith, you're going to have to fight. I mean, there's times when you might even get mean. Some people around you might think you're arrogant. Some people around you might think you're just mean. But there, when it's life and death, you better do something. You better get aggressive. And you better mean it. See, this is, at times like this, you know, when you get attacked with something, this is where it's so important to already have that word in you. Already have your faith built up. You know, too many times, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, those that listen to these words is like a man that built his house on a rock. And when the storm hits, the house stood. But the people that didn't listen to the word were like the man that built his house on the sand. When the storm hit, it just washed away. The storm is going to hit. Whether you build your house on sand or on a rock, the storm is going to hit. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You know, there's going to be a problem. This world, if you haven't noticed, this world is a problematic place. I mean, you're going to have trouble. Something is going to happen. I'm shocked at the amount of Christians that act like nothing's going to happen just because they're born again. And you can tell they're shocked that something happened when they show up in prayer lines, because they're just freaked out. They're panicked. They just can't believe something happened to them because they're a Christian. You know, there is a devil out there, and he hates Christians. He hates people, but he particularly hates Christians. Because you're a possible threat to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? But at some point, you're going to have a fight. It may be a fight for your life. You'll find out who your friends are. Real fast. You know, because when you're in the trenches trying to survive and things are hard, those fair weather friends, they split. But it's the true friends. They'll stand in there with you and say, okay, we're going to win this thing. Amen. But when you know, when you have purposefully set yourself to study the Word, and you've got that Word in your heart, you won't be looking over your shoulder for your friends. Because you'll know that Jesus is right there. God is on the inside of you. It won't matter who's with you. It won't matter what anybody says. When you're standing on faith and you got the Word of God on it, you won't back down. You will win. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Literally, to take this thing by force was the word baezo. That's to use force, to force one's way into a thing. The idea is here, that before John, the kingdom could only be viewed in the light of prophecy, but now it was preached. Men were pressing into it with ardor, resembling violence or desperation. They appeared as though they would seize it by force. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when all the forces of hell seem to be coming against you? Are you going to curl up and play possum and hope the devil goes away? Every single one of you will at some point be in a position where it's either live or die. But it's going to be by the words of your mouth and what you put in your heart. And you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to stand in that place of victory in order to realize your victory. And when you get out there so far into this realm of faith, where there's no turning back, because you know that if you turn back, you're toast. You're going to hear all kinds of crazy things from all kinds of people. One time I was in the oil field and we used this certain kind of chemical that would eat iron out of pipe. And I happened to read the MSDS sheet on it, and there's nothing they could do for you if you got it on you. There was nothing they could do. Well, I had a whole hose of it go down the back of my head and down my back. And this stuff was highly poisonous. And the only thing I could think of was, Jesus has this. I'm going to be all right. I'm all right. And this thing started boiling fat out of my back. Chunks of fat out of my back. And then my insides quit working. And then I lost my equilibrium. But I kept working. And I had great big blisters. But I was still out in the oil field. I'd fall out of my truck once in a while. But the thing is I knew that if I turned back, if I didn't stand in faith and keep going forward, I'd be toast. I told a Word of Faith preacher what was going on, and they said, you need to go to the doctor. That's wisdom would be go to the doctor. And I thought, that's nonsense. Wisdom is throwing yourself on the mercy of Jesus with all you've got and not turning back. You're latching on to the promises of God like a bulldog. Have you ever seen a bulldog when they're fighting? They latch on to something and they latch on and they don't let go. You have to pry their jaws open. They don't let go. That's what you have to do with the things of faith. At some point, you're going to be faced with this. And it may feel like you're going to die. It may feel like you're going to go broke. It may feel like your body might say, boy, just go ahead and die. Your mind might just say, just go ahead and die. But your spirit is going to have to rise up and say, no, I've got the promises of God on this. I win. You have to get mean. You may have to go out in the living room and holler at the devil. Say, no, you are not taking me out. You're going to have to use the Word of God on this stuff. You're not going to let the devil take your inheritance. Look at Luke chapter 16. Verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. It expresses the earnestness that men must have in getting rid of sin, in facing the devil, getting rid of all satanic powers, the world, and in standing true when relatives oppose them. You know, sometimes when people get born again, they get kicked out of the family. I always wondered, a friend of mine, he was a well-known preacher, and he said he just didn't have much to do with family. And I thought, that's odd. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, I just don't have time for much doubt and unbelief. I thought, that's interesting. You know, you do have a natural born family, but when you get born again, your father supersedes your earthly father. Your heavenly father supersedes your earthly mother. Amen? There's some people that don't understand that. They go to church in the same old dead church that mama went to, the same old dead church that grandma went to, because that's where they went. Amen? And you don't go against big mama. That's serious. There is people that will sit in a dead church for 40 years because mama said this is where we go to church. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life shall for my sake find it. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. Literally, there is people that should be in the ministry, but they don't have enough guts to stand up to their wife. There's people that should have been out on the mission field, but they didn't have enough guts to stand up to their boss. You know, I told my boss one time I'm going to Bible school. And he said, no. I said, yeah, I'm going. And he said, can't you just get tapes? I'll set a new stereo in your truck. If they'll just send tapes up there, you can listen to the tapes in the truck. I said, no, I got to go. Come on, man. I said, no, I got to go. And then it got time for me to be down in Texas all the time. So he just sent some trucks down here with me. That's the favor of God. But you got to stand your ground. You got to stand up to the world. You got to stand up to the things that would oppose you going out and doing the things you're supposed to do in faith. You know, each one of you has this giant killing faith on the inside of you. You just don't realize it sometimes. Sometimes you can go through some battles and people don't even know that you're going through battles. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. God can give you peace in the midst of terrible things. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is where people get confused. They think they need to be strong. I'm going to tell you something. You're a weenie. When it comes to the forces of hell, you're a weenie. But the Bible didn't tell you to be strong. It said to be strong in the Lord. Now, when you're strong in the Lord, you could be an 80-year-old grandma and you'd be hell on wheels. You can go into places and turn the kingdom of darkness upside down. Amen. I knew one of those 80-year-old grandmas. She was a prophet. She was one of the first graduates from Kenneth Hagin's school. Rhema. She was one of the first graduates. She was a Methodist. Her husband had been a Methodist preacher for a long, long time. And he passed away, and she was laying in bed, and she told me, she said, all of a sudden, it was time, she said, the window was open, and she said there was a breeze, and the curtains blew open, and she said, I'm not ready for this, and she started talking in tongues. And then she went to Rhema and learned how to, and she ended up being a prophet. And the power of God flowing through that little woman's hands would take the biggest man in the state to his knees. She was strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not strong in herself. She was strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's carry on here now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." There's some curious things in there. When you start finding out what happened in the new creation, what happened when you got born again, the new creation realities, and you start finding out what happened to you when the blood of Jesus got applied to you, you'll start picking up these pieces of armor. You'll find out about the helmet of salvation. You'll find out about the breastplate of righteousness. Here's a curious one. The shield of faith. What do you suppose that shield of faith is made out of? Huh? Water. Yeah. And that water comes up out of you. The Bible tells us there's a spring of water on the inside of you, and it comes up out of you, and it comes up out of there by praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Not only yourself, you edify your whole self, your body, your spirit, and your soul. You know, when you get sick, it wouldn't hurt to pray in tongues. Go take communion and pray in tongues. When you don't know what to do, it wouldn't hurt to pray in tongues. When it feels like all hell's coming against you, pray in tongues. If you don't know what else to do, pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit knows. Amen? But take these, you're going to have to take these by faith, and the way you do that is find out what happened to Jesus on that cross and what happened to you when you got born again. You know, that breastplate of righteousness. Once you find out that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you're in right standing with God, that's your breastplate. You've got it. These are not things that you're just going to put on, you know, here comes the battle and I'm going to put on my stuff. This is stuff that you've got on. And it's all attack armor. It doesn't say anything about covering your backside. Did you notice that? Because he never told you to retreat. He said, go forward. Amen. And actually, in James, it tells us to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. He shall flee from you. You really don't have to do much going forward. You just resist him. And he flees. And that word flee is to run in terror. He can't stand that. You want to hurt the devil really, really bad? Don't do what he tells you to do. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of your fast tracks to faith right here. When you understand about justification, it'll cause peace to flood your soul. And it'll cause great confidence to enter your heart. Because what happens when you realize that you can't be justified until you have first been judged? Every sin that you ever committed was judged on that cross. When Jesus got on that cross, Jesus took on the sins of the whole world, all of them. And then when God raised him back to life, he justified us freely by his grace. See, you have to identify yourself in these different areas. You know, it's one thing to understand that when you get born again, you get baptized into the body of Christ. Well, great, you're part of the body of Christ. That's a good revelation to have. Maybe if the whole body of Christ had that revelation, maybe we'd only have 2,000 denominations. I don't know. But then there's more to it. You got to understand also that when you got born again, you got seated at the right hand of God. Now, how'd that happen? How can you get all the way up there? I mean, you have to somehow ascend. So what happens if you ascend? You had to come up from somewhere. I mean, you had to been judged so that you could be justified. Everything that Jesus went through, you were in him. That's why Paul said, you know, his old man was on the cross. And then it got buried. And you got made a new creature in Christ. Don't go digging that old man up. You know, a lot of people, they get born again and then they go along pretty good for a while and then they think, man, this Christian stuff is kind of boring. All I do is go to church and go to work, go to church and go to work, go to church, go to work, have a party, go to church, go to work, go to church, go to work, go to church, go to work, have a party. Come on. If it's that boring, it's because you're not doing something. You're not picking up the things and going out there and experimenting with them. You know, you can experiment with the Word of God. You can go out there and see what it's like to try to get somebody born again. Witness to somebody. You know, you can go out there and don't do this. Like, this really good friend of mine, he was many of the powerful preacher. His son got a hold of this, casting out devil stuff. So he was hiding around the corner of the bar. And this poor guy come walking out of the bar, and he pounced on him, and he's trying to cast the devil out of him. Don't do that. He said, by the time we got him shut down, that poor guy's tongue was sticking out. He said, don't do that. But look, when you get in tune with the Spirit and you start learning the Word of God and you're going out there into the world and pretty soon, you know, you open yourself up to people, let them know that they can come to you or for prayer or something, or every once in a while in the course of the conversation, you can just kind of start talking to them every once in a while. They'll clue you into what's really wrong with them. And you can ask them if they need help with this. You know, sometimes people need deliverance. Sometimes they need healing. Sometimes they just need to see the goodness of God. Sometimes they need to be born again. Sometimes they need all of it. Amen? But that's what He's done for you. When the Holy Spirit moved inside of you, and then if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and He came upon you and endued you with power, He made you this agent that can go out there and do His bidding for Him. You can go out there and you can witness to Christ. You can go out there, pray for people. You can cast out devils. You can speak in other tongues. Lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That's the Great Commission. That's where the excitement is. You know, too many Christians are trying to find the excitement in bazaars and parties and cakewalks and bake sales and just stuff, where the excitement is out there in the world. You know, with the people that you might get frowned upon for rubbing elbows with. That's where the excitement is, out there. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's so many undercover Christians that don't want to do something that's going to cause somebody to look at them, because they don't want to look like a fool. You know, they're afraid. What if I fail? What if I tell this guy about Jesus and he rejects me? I'm going to tell you something. They didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus. So, well, what if I do it wrong? I'm going to tell you something my pastor used to tell me. He said, God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. All you got to do is just get out there and go. When you're telling them about the love of God, you're not doing it wrong. Amen? It's just that first step, getting out of that boat. Getting out of that boat. Once you lead your first person to Christ, once you get through that first one, then you got a hunger for another one. And then another one. You know, then another one. Then pretty soon you're aiming at 10. And then pretty soon you're aiming at 20. And then one day you might even find yourself walking into a building with 5,000 Muslims. Going in there and tell them about Jesus. Amen. I'm just telling you, if you don't take that first step out of the boat, you won't know what it's like over that horizon. God wants you to keep expanding your little world. It'll be by faith. Every single step of it is going to be by faith. You're not going to be able to see what's around the corner. You won't know what's on the other side of that wall. But you're just going to do it. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we hear it and we hear it and hear it and hear it over and over and over and over again. You know, we got this, we're in this information age. I mean, we can just punch a button and we can have information downloaded from all over the place. You know, we can go order tapes. We can find a minister that we like, and I suppose we could probably order 3 or 4 or 5 tapes from that guy every week. You know, I can't even imagine how many tapes Kenneth Copeland might have in his library. But here's the thing. When you find something that strikes a chord, go over it. Wear that thing out. Keep going over it. Keep listening to it. Keep listening to it. Keep listening to it. Keep reading about it. Keep studying about it. That's where the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you focus on one thing and you sit there and you focus on it and you won't move away from it until you got it. I don't know if any of you have listened to Kenneth Hagin, quite possibly one of the most irritating voices in the world. But he had something that I knew that I needed. And I'd listen to that tape. So my answer is in that tape, what he's preaching. So I just put that in my tape player and put it on repeat. And I listened to that thing all night long, all night long, all night long, all night long. And there'd be times I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd stop that thing, play it back, and I said, that's it. That's my answer right there. I had to listen to it 30 or 40 times. But it happened. But what happens is we'll go buy a set of tapes and we say, man, this thing sounds cool. We'll go through that set of tapes and then we'll hear about this guy over here. We'll go over there and listen to this. You're still getting fed of the Word of God. But the problem is to get a revelation of something. You have to stay on it. You have to stay with it. You know, the Bible, you know, the devil, one thing about the devil is, you know, when the word gets sown out there, he comes immediately to steal that word. He comes to steal that seed. He doesn't want that word to get in your heart. So how does that happen? So you're sitting in church one day, and the preacher says something that sounds really interesting to you, so you underline it in your Bible. And you say, man, that's cool. And you get out of church, and then it's time for the roast. The roast is ready. So you go eat lunch, and then, you know, there's a football game on. So you watch that football game, and then it's time to go to bed, and then you got to go to work Monday, Tuesday. You know, and you show up on Wednesday and they're preaching about something else and you underline something there and then you go on and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday and you got something else until you can't even remember what that guy said last Sunday. I like one thing Glenn Smith said. Every once in a while you should go back in your Bible and read the underlined stuff. Go back in there and read that because it struck a chord in you at some point and it was interesting enough for you to underline it. Go back there and feed on that again. And stay with it. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and we'll finish with this one. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So you have to get a control of your tongue. And if you're going to operate in faith, you're going to have to get control of your tongue. And you're going to have to say what God's word says. You're going to have to call things that aren't as though they are. This drives a lot of religious people crazy. See, you're one of those name it and claim it guys, ain't you? Well, yeah, I'm born again. But here's the thing. God had to change Abraham's vocabulary in order to get him lined out to receive Isaac. See, Abraham wasn't always Abraham, he was Abram. God had to change his name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. So for 25 years, Abraham had to wander around without any kids other than Ishmael, but without his child of promise, and he had to call himself the father of many nations. So when he introduced himself, he had to say, I'm the father of many nations. When his hands come to get paid, they had to address him as the father of many nations. Can you imagine some of the conversations these goat herders had? They go back there and say, that old man has spent so much time in the sun. He wants a kid so bad. He's calling himself the father of many nations. He ain't even got one. Well, Ishmael. Where's this child of promise? You'll have people say, you'll have Christians say, what are you standing on? What are you believing for? And you'll say, I'm believing for this. They say, where's it at? That drives me nuts. They need to just shut up. If they can't get an agreement, they need to just shut up. Because they're trying to prove their doubt and unbelief over the Word of God. Amen. That's where you're going to have the word on your heart. Say, it's mine. I have already received it. He's freely given me all things with Christ Jesus. It's mine. Well, where is it at? It's none of your business. My daddy has it for me. Amen. And when it's time for it to manifest, it'll be there. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that he's doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he completes our salvation. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.